Questions?
They were holed up for the night in what had been some kind of staff lounge for the doctors and nurses. They'd found blankets in the closets and plenty of sofas. With the sec doors, it was a reasonably safe place to pass the dark hours.
How about clothes, so I can get out of this damn shroud?
Mildred now wore a nurse's white blouse, tucked into men's dark blue pants. They had also found white sneakers that fitted her, and a heavy wool sweater in case they encountered colder weather. Now she sat across from the others, almost as if she'd come along to be interviewed for a job. Despite the fact that she'd just been brought back to consciousness after a century of nothingness, Mildred Wyeth didn't seem at all fazed by the experience. And there was no sign, Ryan was delighted to see, of any kind of mental disturbance from the unfreezing.
Well, now that that's settled, I think I might have some more questions, JB.
Shoot.
Well, I guess that if I really set my mind to it, I could come up with at least 7,500 questions.
The gentle smile disappeared.
Do I have any questions? What the hell do you think, mister?
Oh, sorry, but...
Oh, forgive me for speaking while you're interrupting, mister. I've been lying in that icebox for 100 years. You give me a 15-minute synopsis of what's been happening and then ask if I might have a question.
Being frozen certainly didn't do anything to improve your temper, lady.
What?
Perhaps it made you a mite deaf in the bargain?
You damned old goat. Talk to me like that and I'll knock you on your skinny ass.
Ryan, Christy, JB, and Jack watched in absolute amazement. Doc had shown no interest in the newly thawed Dr. Wyeth, totally ignoring her, which was yet another worrying symptom of the old man's withdrawal into catatonia. Now, out of the blue, he had launched into the woman, who seemed better than able to look after herself in any full and frank exchange of views.
Oh, you and whose army, madam?
Doc drew himself up to his full, skinny height.
Go piss up a rope, asshole!
Mildred snapped to her feet.
Oh.
But her muscles were weakened by the long immobility, and she tottered and nearly fell over.
It'll take some time before you can back up all the big talk. You're as feeble as an hour-old colt, madam.
I believe your name is Theophilus Tanner, is it not?
Such is my name, Dr. Wyeth.
Well, Theophilus Tanner, fuck you!
Christy was sitting next to Ryan, and she leaned across to him.
Doesn't seem much wrong with Mildred Wyeth, lover.
Long as you keep to the windward side of her temper.
Movement woke Ryan, and his finger automatically slid onto the trigger of his 6-hour.
Don't shoot, Ryan.
Mildred?
Most of the lights had been disconnected by JB so that they could sleep in something close to darkness. Ryan, on one of the long sofas, could just make out the silhouette of the woman looming over him.
Sorry to wake you.
That's all right.
Mind if I sit down here a spell? Legs aren't that strong yet.
Ryan sat up, gesturing to her.
Sure. Pull up a corner.
Ugh. Thanks. I think I need to talk to someone, and you're the leader of this group, right?
Yeah, I guess I am.
And this Deathlands is simply the good old U.S. of A., but reverted to a kind of primitive way of life, like Pol Pot and the Khmer Rouge? Back to Year Zero and all that crap.
Ryan didn't know what she was talking about, but it sounded like a kind of sense, which was reassuring. He nodded again.
And you and the others are like, I guess like a sort of Magnificent Seven?
There's only 5 of us now. 6 with you, not 7.
I guess I've got so much to learn that... No. What I'm trying to get to, Ryan, is that the Deathlands is full of baddies, black hats, and you are the goodies, the white hats?
He shook his head this time.
No, Mildred. In Deathlands, there isn't much of good or bad. Generally, it's just a lot of people doing the best they can.
Ryan was aware that the phrase had a familiar ring to it, but he just couldn't remember where he'd heard it before.
A place of mean streets. But you and the others walk down them, and you aren't mean? Something like that, Ryan?
This time, the question was clearly there.
Yeah? That sounds about right, Mildred.
Then I might be lucky about being thought out by you and not by some of the others, I guess. Thanks, Ryan. Thanks for unlocking Sleeping Beauty from her ivory tower.
Sure.
Mildred stood up on wobbly legs, smiling down at him, her teeth showing white in the dimness.
Oh. Okay, Prince Charming. Sorry I woke you. Good night now. Sleep tight.
And you.
By morning, Mildred had recovered still more of her strength. Jack had scouted around and discovered some sealed packs of food tabs. Though they tasted much like a compressed mixture of mud and chaff, they provided all the essential proteins and vitamins to get a person through a day.
Nourishing they may be, but delicious they are not.
Maybe just this once, Doc, you and I are in agreement.
Then I hope that it will not be the last time, Dr. Wyeth.
And my name is Mildred, if that isn't too familiar for you.
Doc half bowed.
Mildred it shall be.
Christy caught Ryan's eye and winked at him. The change in Doc was astounding. The arrival of Mildred, with her opinionated manner, had been just what the old man needed to nudge him from the madness of the triple jump. After the meal, the companions headed out. When they reached the doors that opened onto the tropical jungles of Minnesota, Ryan eased cautiously through, then beckoned the others to follow him into the humid, sweltering air. Mildred was third out, and she paused, looking around in amazement. Then she turned angrily and accusingly to Ryan.
You think this is funny?
What?
Only part of his attention was on her. Most was focused on searching for potential threats from the alien landscape.
Funny, Ryan. If that's your real name. This institute was in Minnesota near Duluth. I don't know what's going on here, but I know fucking well, if you'll pardon my French, that this is not Minnesota. It could be Hawaii, but Duluth it ain't, Jack.
This is the Shelley Cryonic Institute, Mildred. Sign says so right there.
The nuking blew the world apart, remember? There was a botanical complex here. The hotspots must have changed the weather and scattered some freak muty seeds. At least that's our guess.
Well, I'll be damned. When they brought me here, it was bleak midwinter.
Snow on snow.
Doc earned himself a nod of appreciation from the woman.
Near 20 feet, if I remember correctly. By God, but this is so wonderful. I always wondered what would happen if... Well, now I know, and I'm fine. Freezing really works.
Not often, lady. We tried thawing out lots, and you and one other guy were the only ones who made it.
How come they froze you? Look fucking good to me.
Why, thank you, son.
Jack opened his mouth, closed it again, opened it, and to the amazement of the others, said nothing. Mildred watched this performance with some surprise.
What's the matter?
Please, don't call son a kid or nothing like that.
Sure thing, Jack. Sorry. You asked me why I was frozen. I went into Bethesda for a routine checkup and biopsy, suspecting an ovarian cyst. Surgeons didn't think it was serious.
But they found it was... malignant? Was that what they found?
Mildred shook her head. Her black hair was shaped into dozens of tiny, tight plaits, and they glinted in the watery sunlight.
No, never got that far. I had this totally freak reaction to the anesthesia and the pre-op, and I went into convulsions, really far out, like I was up there on the ceiling of the operating room, watching my body down below. I went into a coma for a time. All the vital signs were failing. Because I was important in the cryo field, they wanted to keep me if they could, and flew me up here. Snow was everywhere. I remember that. I could see and hear, but I couldn't move a damn thing. Then they started the cryoprocessing, and the rest, as I say, is silence.
And now you find yourself here, in this wicked, ravaged world. Believe me, dear lady, you have my entire sympathy for your grievous predicament.
In his careful introduction, Ryan had touched on the backgrounds of himself and the other members of the group, so Mildred understood the reason behind Doc's kind words. She nodded and smiled at him.
Thanks. I guess, like you, there'll be times I find all this madness easy to cope with. Other times, it'll be harder.
She paused, looking out over the rich vegetation and the slow-flowing river.
Knowing that everyone you ever loved has gone. Not just gone, but long, long gone. That's not easy. Ma must have passed away at least 80 years ago. My nieces, all dead.
You were not married?
No. Work came first for this child, and fighting for rights, my people's rights and the rights of women. You folks can't realize what a shit world it was back then.
Times it's like that here, Mildred.
Ma told me that life wasn't just a bowl of damn cherries, and by God, she was surely right.
A dragonfly darted from the trees beyond the water, fully 18 inches in length, shining with a dazzling iridescent purple sheen. It hovered for a few moments near the group, then moved away, its wings a shimmering blur. Mildred watched it in silence, before shaking her head in disbelief.
And now you'll tell me that it isn't just the trees and flowers that have gone extra freaky. That was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in my life. Are there more of those around the Deathlands?
Beauty and horror. Most species, including humans, have mutated over the past century. You'll see something of both sides of the coin around here, Mildred.
I can't wait.
She looked at the five friends in turn.
Seems to me I've got a fair range here, from what you've told me about yourselves. A red-headed medium, an albino street punk, a 200-year-old fart, a gun freak, and a one-eyed killer. Ma always used to moan that I made some odd friends. Boy, oh boy, if she could see me now.
To the northeast of the rambling complex, the surrounding hills seemed to rise higher. It was the obvious procedure in a strange place to try to get a good vantage point to see the lay of the land. Jack led, picking his way through the twining undergrowth, disturbing flocks of brilliant butterflies, which rose about him as thick as a curtain. There didn't seem to be much animal life in the region. Once, a startled deer broke from a thicket.